Well, I enjoy the music at this church. I'll tell you, you go to some churches and you're just not blessed like you have, like you get blessed here in the music of the church. I love those little children. I miss some of that interaction with them. And, you know, they get up here, my goodness, they scratch wherever they want to. They pick whatever they want to. They hip hop, jump up and down, look like a bunch of charismatics up here, but that might not be too bad anyway, but they're a blessing, and thank God for them. Well, take your Bibles, and we're going to start out tonight in Matthew chapter 1, a couple of verses there, and then I want to take some time to read some other verses. Matthew chapter 1, if you'll find your place there. There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music to mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. How about you? Isn't that a sweet name, the name of Jesus? And my goodness, it represents a whole lot of things. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is the power of the name of Jesus and the comfort of His name, the beauty of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a powerful name. So let's look at just a few illustrations to back up what I just said about the power and beauty of His name. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 and 23. And she shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I like that verse, don't you? Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now turn to John, if you will. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And look at verses 13 and 14 for just a moment. And I'm talking about the name of Jesus, the power of it, and the comfort of it. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, John 14, 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in what? In my name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And look at John 15 and verse 16. The Scripture says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. That should be an encouragement to pray, shouldn't it? And then look, if you will, turn over a little bit further to Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. And there's another case at point to back up what I've said about the name of Jesus. Beginning with verse 9, the Scripture says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I submit to you that there's a lot of evidence right here that the name of Jesus is powerful, and that the name of Jesus has great and deep meaning to all of us. We know a lot of names we can think of, sports figures and politicians, and all kinds of leaders, artists, educators, many different names. And sometimes we memorize names and we try to associate them. I remember getting some material so I could study that material and associate names with certain things and associations, so as a pastor I could remember names better. Well, my wife said, honey, you need to turn that book back in and just try to, you're getting confused with all the names. You just need to remember the names and concentrate on repeating that. And I think she probably was right. But the names of those people were important to me. Now, we look first of all at the comfort of His name. The comfort of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to me that the worst sinners in town, somehow or another, when something goes wrong and somebody dies, they want to call a preacher and have him say a few things about Jesus and about the name of Jesus. And since I've been retired, I have especially one funeral home that calls me every now and then. And I remember they called me one day and said this man had passed away. He was a fireman. A lot of people knew him. He lived in Frisco or somewhere around there. And they wanted me to do the funeral. And when I got into the thing, I found out that the man had been a very wicked man. The family didn't have time for church. They didn't go to church. They had no association with church. But they wanted a minister. They wanted a minister to come and say something like Psalm 23 or John chapter 14 to quote some of those verses like that about the name of Jesus. And it's amazing that they at least have enough sense to know that there is some comfort in the name of Jesus. Now, whenever there's a time of sorrow, the name of Jesus is so precious. I know that many of you have gone through times of sorrow. I can think of some in my life, the times of sorrow that I promise you, the only name that really helped me through those times, though there were many people involved, was the name of Jesus Christ. And I just attended a funeral, I told you this morning, of a good friend. And I want to tell you what gave comfort during that whole time to the wife, to the son, to the grandchildren, and to his friends was when the preacher got up and talked about the name of Jesus, who Jesus was, what Jesus had done for him, how he had believed in Jesus, and because of all of that, he was in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And there are many more verses like that to teach us that whenever we pass away, then our spirit and soul goes to be with the Lord. And so that was with him. But it was the name of Jesus that brought comfort. And it's always the name of Jesus that's going to do that. I had a young lady that was saved at my church back in Indiana. And she was engaged to a pilot for Southwest Airlines. And one day she called me and she said, Brother Weaver, do you remember me? And I said, oh, yeah. Her name was Natasha, and I remembered her. I remember when she got saved. I baptized her. And she said, my fiance's in the hospital, and he has the Zika virus, and he's not saved. Would you go talk to him? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to go talk to him. Make a long story short, I led him to Jesus Christ. He had a religious background and a so-called Christian religious background, but he was as lost as he could be. He had no idea that he was going to go to heaven or that he was saved. And I remember in talking with him, leading him to the Lord, that later she told me, she said, I cannot believe the change in him. His name was Smeller. That was his last name, Matthew Smeller. And he was a pilot. And so she said, I'm telling you, he changed so much. And so I went back in. I can't remember who was with me, but we went back in one day, and I was taking him some follow-up material, some discipleship material. And when we walked into the area where he had been in intensive care, the nurse, I asked about him. She said, well, he's been moved to another area. And so I went to that area as she directed me, and when I got to that area, I found out, the nurse looked at me and said, who are you? I said, I'm Reverend Weaver, and I've come to visit Matthew Smeller. She said, oh, thank God, good, good. He just passed away. And so when that happened, just about that time, Natasha came through the door. And I'm going to tell you just what happened. All the details I can't tell you, but here's the bottom line. It was the name of Jesus that gave her comfort, that she knew that he had accepted Christ as his Savior. And when I had that funeral, a lot of pilots were there. We were out at that Japanese gardens out there. They had a big funeral, number of pilots, and I got to tell them about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were comforted by the fact that he had gotten saved, and I'm thankful that he got saved. When our grandson went home to be with the Lord, I'm telling you, the only thing that sustained us of all the names and all the people and everybody was kind and good was the name of Jesus. That's the only name in the time of sorrow when that happens. And then it can be a time of trouble. The name of Jesus will comfort you in those times of trouble. Our church, I've noticed in the last year, has had a lot of people with a lot of trials in a lot of difficulties and a lot of trouble. And some of you right here tonight are going through those times. I mean, you've got problems, physical problems, financial problems, health problems, and different things in your life. And all of these problems are there. But I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the name that's going to take you through those. And you've got to lean on Him. You've got to trust Him. You've got to look to Him. You've got to know He's there, that He loves you, and He wants to give you the strength to bring you through this time of your trouble. Whatever it may be, some major disappointment or some great failure in your life or some of these other things that I've mentioned, but it's the name of Jesus, going to Jesus, praying to Jesus, talking to Jesus about it, and Jesus, that name is the name that's going to take you through those trials and troubles. I can scan across this congregation and see a lot of you that I've been with you in times of trouble. And I know that it was only Jesus Christ that brought you through those super terrible, difficult times. And then it's certainly a name of comfort at the hour of death. I have, over the years, seen quite a few people pass away and quite a few people that have died. And I promise you one thing, there's a major difference. Hear me now. There's a major difference when somebody is not saved and they're passing away and going through that time and somebody who really is saved. And I remember a man who had cancer and he had a big hole in his back, and I witnessed to him, led him to Christ, and he begged me to pray that he would die. And I said, well, let's leave that up to God. That's up to God. And I prayed for his comfort and all of that during his time of pain that he was going through. But I remember the day he died after I'd led him to the Lord. And during that hour of death, his granddaughter was in there. She happened to be in the hospital room. I happened to walk in at that time. You know, God's good to put you in the right place at the right time many times. And so about that time, as we were watching him in bed, he smiled a real big smile. He had been in pain, agonizing pain, and he smiled real big in tears. I'll never forget it. Tears ran down his cheek. Smiled real big, and he looked up as if he was seeing something we weren't seeing, and I believe he was. And I believe the Lord took him right on to heaven. And I'm telling you, that was comforting to his granddaughter and then later to his family. And what a blessed time. I think of some people from our church that I've observed during that time. I believe one of the sweetest times I ever saw was when Miss Phipps went home to be with the Lord. And also Doris Gonzalez and some folks like that. And there are others I could name, but I'm telling you, it's precious when they go home to be with the Lord and they know the Lord and they know they're saved. And you just know that they're depending on Christ. And I believe this, when it comes time to die, the Lord's going to be there. And He's going to comfort you, and He's going to take care of you. And no doubt He or the angels will usher you right into the presence of His Heavenly Father. So there's a great deal of comfort in the name of Jesus, power and comfort. The power of His name, it is a powerful name in that it points out sin. When you say Jesus, you're talking about holiness. When you say Jesus, you're talking about somebody who's perfect. When you say Jesus, you're talking about somebody who never, never has sin. And because He is holy, He points out sin in my life. His perfection makes my sin evident. And we have to remember that He is perfect. Now, a lot of times what we want to do is compare ourselves with each other. Well, I'm as good as him, and I'm as good as her, and I look at their habits, and while mine's not so bad, theirs are worse than mine. If you want to compare yourself with somebody, dear friend, compare yourself with Jesus. Look at Jesus' life. Look at his life and what the Bible says about him and what the Bible says about God. Isaiah had a great vision of that. In Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You want to compare yourself to somebody, Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And when you think you're doing pretty good, look at your life again. Look at it very closely. And look at it very subjectively and know that your life, compared to the life of Christ, will point out your sin because of His holiness and what He expects out of us. He expects us to live righteously. You know that? He does. He expects us to live a life that deals with sin and gets rid of sin. And we say, well, there are little sins. There's really no such thing. But when you look at Jesus, you'll want to get rid of pride in your life. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll want to get rid of bitterness in your life. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll want to get rid of jealousy and envy and all of those other things. We call those little sins. They're really not little sins. They're big sins. When you look at Jesus, you'll get rid of pornography, guys, in your life and girls. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll clean up your conversation. You'll get rid of the drugs in your life. You'll stop drinking, and you'll get rid of the alcohol in your life when you compare yourself to Jesus Christ and you know what He expects out of you. And His name points out our sins. And so we need to get those things right. I'm glad, though, that His name gives hope to the worst sinner in the world. His name gives hope to the worst of sinners. The Bible says Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. And I'm glad Jesus loves sinners. You know, we need to do a little bit more of that ourselves, don't we? It's easy to criticize them. And somebody was asking me a while back, well, you think I could come to your church like this? You think they would accept me? I said, come on, and don't even worry about it. If they don't, just forget it. Don't worry about them. They're not spiritual anyway, but there'll be a lot of them there that will be kind to you and love you and welcome you. I don't care what your past has been. And one guy was talking about he'd been in prison. I said, that doesn't matter. You come, Jesus loves you, and God will save you. You come on to our church. If you want to come to our church, you do it because God loves you. He said Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's don't forget that, of whom I am chief. Paul was a great sinner, but God loved him. And we need to have the same attitude. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well? And they were in a conversation, and she was telling him about some of the problems she had. And he said, yeah, I know all about it. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know you've had five, and you're living with one now, so not your husband. You get close to Jesus, you're going to find out about your sins, my dear friend. But here's the thing, Jesus loved her, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, he absolutely, totally loved her and told her how to be saved, and I believe she got saved. He loves sinners, and I sure am glad, because I am a sinner saved by his grace. And then I think his name is a challenge to me and to all of us to do our very best. To do our very best in our lives for the glory of God. Do you ever sort of get sick of yourself? You ought to. We all should sometimes. Just look at ourselves in the spiritual mirror and say, man, I'm just not cutting it. I'm just not there. We just sort of get a little bit sick of ourselves. It'd do us good sometime to have a little hunger for the abundant life, to want to rise higher and higher and higher with the Lord Jesus Christ, to reach new horizons spiritually with the Lord Jesus Christ, not to die on the dead rock of dry complacency, but to keep growing in the Lord and grow in the spiritual things of God. Sick of self. We need a revival sometimes because of our relationship, and it'll help our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about magic. I'm talking about a real revival that God gives us. We look at ourselves and say, hey, something's lacking here. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of times we could probably do that if we just would do that to say, you know, I could be a better Christian. I could grow more. I could pray more. I could read my Bible more. I could witness more. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just telling you that we could live holier lives and better lives for Christ than we are many times if we just admit it and look at ourselves like that and have a revival. And a lot of that is up to us, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We don't want to be a Laodicean church. Are you a Laodicean Christian? Are you on fire for God, or are you lukewarm? God said, I'd rather you were hot or cold, or, and if you're just lukewarm, I'd just soon to spit you out of my mouth. God said, I don't like it, I can't stand it, and I don't like that. And so the name of Jesus points out these things in our life. And what had happened to the church of Ephesus was like that. They had left their first love. Who was the first love? Their first love was Jesus. Who's your first love tonight? What is your first love tonight? It should be Jesus. It should be the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, He cannot fully bless us until He fully conquers us. He cannot fully bless you until He fully has you and conquers you. It's not going to happen. And Paul said what we need is what he said he needed. I die daily. We should be crucified to self every day of our lives. Look at self. Compare ourselves to Jesus and what he expects. And realize we need to die to the self-willed way of life. And then thirdly, the condemnation of his name. The condemnation of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the word of God, John 3:18. Carefully hear what he says. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Isn't that great? If you're here tonight and you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not condemned. Hey, I like that. I'm glad for that. That's a good reality and a good feeling too. I am not condemned because I believe on Christ. And the Bible verifies that. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But, that comparative conjunction, but he that believeth not, what's his status or her status? Is condemned already. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're living under condemnation. You say, well, everything's going pretty good, but you're still under condemnation. I don't care how good it's going for you. I don't care how much money you've got in the bank. I don't care how successful you are. If you're not saved, you are living under the condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already. Because, why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's that name again. Because he hadn't believed in that name. And you better be sure that you have believed not in the church, not in your works, not in baptism, not in being a Baptist with a capital B and all of that stuff. What you need to be sure of is that you truly had an experience with Jesus Christ somewhere in your life, and you can point back to it and say, that's where I got saved. You may not be able to put down the hour or the day, but you know where it happened if you got saved, and we ought to be able to say that. But because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, he is condemned. He is condemned already. Already condemned. Not only that, he is condemned forever. Wow. How would you like to be condemned forever? How would you like to die and go to hell and never get out of hell? Condemned. You reject Jesus Christ. You die in that condition. You're condemned forever. If you die lost, and I'm telling you, the horrors of hell, when I think about the horrors of hell, and sometimes I'll just try to meditate on it a little bit and think about it, because it stirs my soul for a lot of different ways and a lot of different reasons. But I'll tell you one thing, it makes me want to fall on my face before God and say, oh God, I'm so thankful I'm not going to be condemned forever in hell. How about you? Isn't it great to be saved? Not be condemned. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you ought to be saved tonight. You're condemned already, you're condemned forever, and you're condemned to hell, the caverns of the lost, the fire burning, the smoke. I don't know what all is involved there, but I can tell you, we know enough from the Bible to know it's horrible. It's horrible. You just don't want to go to hell. I've been told to go there before, but I said, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go there. It's too bad. I'm saved. I know the Lord. But that's a beautiful name, isn't it? A beautiful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, if we'll concentrate on Him, quit concentrating on yourself so much. Let's concentrate on Him. Let's take advantage of everything He has for us because of who He is. The comfort that he has, and the fact that he will convict us of sin because of who he is. And then the fact that if you're here, for instance, tonight, and you're lost, to know that that is the name, the very name of Jesus. If you do not receive him, you're already condemned to eternal damnation, separated from God. How beautiful is the name of Jesus. There is no name like the name of Jesus. It fits real good in my lips and on my tongue. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. And I can tell you tonight, I'm not just preaching to the lost people. Saved people alike, we need the name of Jesus. And we need to enjoy and enter into all that that name represents for us. If it means getting rid of sin, we need to do it. If it means we need some comfort and we've got burdens tonight, we need to bring them to Jesus. You can take them to a lot of people, but the best one to take them to is Jesus Christ. And if you're lost, come and be saved. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and we'll have our invitation. May God help you to come if you're not saved. If you have a burden tonight, bring it to the Lord. If you've experienced heartache and heartbreak, know that he'll comfort you. Whatever the need is, it's Jesus. It is him that will help you. Father, I pray that you would, as I've tried to lift up the name of your Son, that you would help people to understand what I was trying to say and what the Bible says about Jesus. Thank you for the comfort of his name. And help some of those that are here tonight who need that to find it here at an old-fashioned altar. And those, dear God, that have some things in their life as they would compare themselves with the holiness of Jesus, that they'd say, I need to straighten some things up. I need to get some things right tonight. And those that are unsaved, that they might be saved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.